Networking and marketing made simple is for you, the business owner who has a product, a service, or a message that you believe in. My name is Scott Aaron, and each week we'll take a behind-the-scenes look into the real-world marketing and networking tactics and strategies for getting what you have in front of you to a lot more people. Thanks for spending time with me, and now let's get started. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Networking and Marketing Made Simple. Super excited for today's episode. I have Ryan Scheer with me here today, and we're going to be talking about all things digital marketing, digital content, content creation. And for anyone that's been listening to this podcast for nearly 5 years now and have followed the journey of myself and my wife and the company that we run, you know that we are all about content creation, digital content, and being consistent on social media, pushing all of that stuff out there. So we're going to talk about all that and more. So with that, Ryan, welcome to today's episode.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm always pleased to come on shows and talk about content creation because I think it's one of those things that people overlook or get overwhelmed by, and it's not that hard. It really isn't. So I
could not agree more. I'm in the process right now at the time that we're recording this. I'm doing a content creation for LinkedIn workshop at the end of October because people still struggle with what types of content they need to create, you know, how to do it, what verbiage to use to really connect to your audience. So let's rewind the tape first before we talk about all things that you're doing now. So if you could go back in time, you know, rewind that tape of your life and your business and press stop at a moment that you would consider, you know, your catalytic or moment in time that really kind of shifted you into everything that you're doing now. What was that moment for you?
That's a weird moment. I'm not going to share it with most people. I was a stand-up comedian and an entertainer. And I got tired of touring. Stand-up is horrible. You just tell the same jokes over and over. It got me ready to be a dad, but it didn't really suit with me. So I started doing podcasts. And through podcasting, I got into marketing and content creation and realized it was a very viable way to do it. And that was the moment I went from wanting to be an entertainer to content creation, which I've been doing for well over 10 years now. So
what got you into stand-up comedy?
George Carlin and Absent Parents, really was, I'm 45. So when I was a kid, I was about 13, I got a hold of a George Carlin cassette tape for all you kids out there. And it made sense. He was just doing things about logical hellos and goodbyes and logical things. And there was cursing in it. So of course at 13, I thought it was cool, but the logic behind it. And then he was just one of my idols. And I pursued it. It was just a dream that I had and I decided to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 44, so I grew up in the same era. So, you know, the Eddie Murphys, the Rodney Dangerfields, mm-hmm. the John Candies of the world. Like, you know, I feel lucky, you know, and again, I love today's comics as well. The Tom Segura's of the world. Like, I love those guys, but comedy was different back then. But what I'll say is this, you know, a friend of mine from high school, he's a stand-up comedian. He's also a writer for Seth Meyers, his late show. And he actually just filmed and recorded his first special. You know, comedy is one of those things that's, you know, it's a challenge for a lot of people because, you know, you're up there and to your point to entertain, you're up there to make people laugh. Right. And I'm sure you experienced in the beginning. There were probably a lot of pitfalls and a lot of lessons learned and a lot of jokes that did not go over well. You know, what can you remember from that first joke that you told at whatever number show it was, where it really landed and it really fueled the crowd, you know, behind you that again, in turn, when something like that happens, it gives you confidence in what you're doing.
Of course. Do you
remember when that was?
It's kind of a weird story. So I was working at a bar. It's about 10 or 15, 20 years ago. I was working at a bar and they wanted content. Now I'd done a handful of stand-up mic things. Like I'm talking 5-10 minutes max on stage. Well, they said, hey, we need content for Thursday night. We just want some butts in the seat. And the DJ at the time said, this guy does some comedy. And he's like, do you want to do a comedy show? The owner said, on Thursday night. And I'm like, sure. So I live not in a populated area. So for some reason, I thought I could draw some comics in here, and I couldn't. So we had an hour show scheduled, and I ended up having to do the entire hour, like myself, which is an eternity, especially for somebody that's just kind of been interested in it. So I did it, and it went well. It was about a 7 out of 10. It was better than what I ever thought it was going to be. And just that bravery, and there's a certain level of arrogance, I guess, that you're going to, like you said, these people want to hear me and talk to me or whatever. And I liked all of it. And the bar owner comes up and says, hey, do you just want to be the house comic? And I'm like, sure. So then for the next 14 weeks, I did an hour show every week, and it taught me how to learn, adapt, and to tell people. And there were some shows that are absolutely better than others. But the pivot point was, kind of to go back to your point, that I did it. You understand when it starts landing, you understand when it starts happening, but the fact that I absolutely just did it, what was the thing? Because a lot of times, once you take that first step, the rest of them are pretty easy.
Yeah, I completely agree. There's a quote by T. Harv Eker that I always shares. It says, every master is once a disaster. So, you know, no comic gets up there the first time and just absolutely tears the house down. It's repetition. Yeah. It's kind of going through your material, seeing what lands, what doesn't. But also, you know, not being afraid to, you know, kind of lean into the fear and try new things. So obviously, you know, it's an interesting path that you went on. There was another gentleman that I interviewed that actually was a pro wrestler. And then, and then that led to him growing an online business. So how did the whole content creation, content marketing spur from being a stand-up comic at this bar and club that you were working at?
So I was in a relationship, and she didn't want me touring anymore, and I was kind of over it. And so this is back 2013. So I get a little mixer, and I start doing a podcast. That's kind of how the content creation started. And this is back in the early days of Facebook. Like, Facebook had only been around 3 or 4 years. It was still early, but that's kind of how you grew, is you just had to get noticed. So I just started doing things to get noticed, and I started gaining advertisers. We got enough people that started gaining advertisers. And I'm also greedy, and I have graphic design skills. So I figured out, if I did their marketing to put on my show, I didn't have to have a third party do the marketing. So I started doing content creation for them. They would send me videos, they would send me pictures, they would send me whatever, and I would use my creative talents to take their content and turn it into elevated content and advertisements and ads. And that's kind of how the marketing thing got started, is I understood what content creation did for my show, and I understood what content creation did to get me out there, taking little clips, taking little snippets. I don't know how PG your show is, so there was other things that we did that because we were a comedy show. It was me and two other comedians. It was a comedy show, so we did some things to garner attention. But at that point, you understood what content meant, that you could do. We could record for 3 hours a month and split that up, but overall, the content we put on social media, even 10 years ago, would have 50, 60, 70,000 views, to where our actual podcast might have 800, 900. So understanding that bingeable social media content back then was what got me into it. And I've built my house upon that, I guess.
So in looking back at your, you know, career shifting from stand-up comedian to what you're doing now,
yeah,
in content creation, content marketing, digital, yeah, marketing, of all the lessons that you learned in that process, what would you think, what would you say is the greatest lesson that you learned during that time period of being a stand-up comic that you've been able to take with you and translate into everything that you're doing now?
First and foremost is, I'm not near as funny as what I thought I was, or I wouldn't be a digital marketer. you know, I was really good with my friends. I'm really good conversational podcast. But the biggest lesson that I had, and it kind of goes back to what we were saying about being overwhelmed about starting the process, is that you just have to do it. Your first podcast is going to be bad. Your first stand-up gig is going to be bad. Your first live video is going to be bad. Anything that you do the first time is going to be bad, including like probably your first marriage. It's just anything that you do is going to be bad the first time you do it. And you have to learn and you have to work through those things. And that's set it on a path of, hey, I want to do video editing. I want to learn After Effects. I want to learn Blender. I want to learn 3D programming. I want to learn whatever, getting over that fear of one, trying, and two, you're just going to be really bad at it for a while. That is the biggest lesson that I've learned from that. Because I was bad at comedy and I rose to a point, I got on a tour. I rose to a point I could engage people on podcasting. I started doing some really cheesy, bad marketing. And 10 years later, I'm director of operations at a content creation company. But there's a lot of things that happened between there that was just really awful.
Yeah. You know, everyone sees the story. Everyone sees the glory, but they don't know the story. So
no.
Let's talk about that whole transition of obviously going from stand-up comic to everything that you're doing now. What was kind of the bridge to make all that happen? And, you know, obviously, what had you really fall in love with content creation and, you know, digital content and digital marketing that said, you know what, this is actually the career path that I want to go down?
Really, honestly, and I hate to make this, I needed to eat. And comedy doesn't pay near as well. So I started exploring at these other things that I was doing. And as I explored these things, you got better at them. And I just found you could do those and there's money to make there. Just like you mentioned John Segura or you mentioned George Carlin, they were funny enough and dedicated enough that they could go out and they could make a career out of that. So one of my life goals was to do something that I love to do. And this is the thing. I mean, I get paid to play on Facebook all day and to create content for Facebook all day because I'm a little bit out of a box marketer. If you own a candle company and you want that sweeping shot of a little candle and do what I can do that too. Don't get me wrong. But that content has to be engaging, that content has to do. And to take all these creative abilities that I use to make fun of things and make weird 3D design and rendering things, to turn that into making logo and making content and art in content that people could actually accept and work for was just gratifying to me. And so that's kind of where that happened.
Yeah. You know, sometimes we pivot and we do things not, you know, so much for the sheer love of it, but more of like, okay, you know, I got to do this. I got to keep the train rolling. But at the same time, simultaneously, you sometimes fall in love with that process, which it sounds like that's exactly what happened to you. So I want to talk about the aspect of, you know, content creation, but the overwhelm, the disjointedness that sometimes comes along with it, the unknowingness that comes along with it. To this day, there has never been a time in the online space where there's been more content being created, but yet there are still a large, large amount of people that are not consistent with it, struggle creating it, and still are in that no man's land of stopping, starting, stopping, starting. What do you feel is still causing all of those things to happen?
Instant gratification. Any marketing plan that you ever have is going to take 3 to 6 months to find your consistency and get to. And content creation is that. Whether you're taking out programmatic ads, PPC ads, Facebook ads, whatever, you have to build an audience, following, algorithms, you name it. You don't get to put up two pieces of content like Mr. Beast or a YouTuber or whatever and get 76 million views and or go to TikTok and make some cute little video about your sticker company and be selling 5 million stickers the next day. That is not the real story. And that's a story that very rarely happens. So what people do is they build expectations of I'm going to create this content and I'm going to do these things. And the wonderful thing about digital marketing is you can take that content and you can look at all the numbers behind it and go, well, I only got 36 views, but you can see how long they watched, where they watched, who was watching, all of that. So then you take those numbers and you build upon that. What happens is people create content. They get on there and they do a shaky live or a shaky whatever, and they get 30 views. And they're like, well, I'm not doing this again. It wasn't worth it. Well, man, you just got 30 views you wouldn't have had unless you did a live. that you're putting too many expectations on it, and you got to put a little effort behind it, because you do that shaky live, or you do that content creation, or you get your face out in front of it, and nobody, like, I edit video all day and I still send my video to somebody else, because editing your own video is not great. And I think people just get in their heads about that. So what they do is they pull those insecurities, and they pull from that, and they're like, I don't want to be put out there like that. And when they don't get the expected 6 million views, they think people don't like them. But people just don't know about you. A good case study is there's a brewery about four doors down, which is a probably mistake to work for, but I work for them. And when I took over their marketing, they would just do like social media tiles, but the owner of the brewery, which everybody in town loved, would never get on camera because he had a Bell's palsy thing and he didn't like the way his face looked, or he didn't like whatever, right? So I took over the account. I live in a town of 15,000 people. There was 2,000 followers on Facebook. In the year and a half time that I've convinced him to get out, do videos, be public, be a personality, content create, he's at 7,000 followers right now in a town of 14,000 people. So that's 50% of your market. That is 50% of the town that you're located in. And that is just from content creation. We didn't do anything wild. We didn't spend millions of dollars on videos. We didn't spend tens of thousands of dollars on programmatic ads. I just made the dude put his face on his Facebook page. I made him, this weekend, we got this coming up. This is our new beer releasing. This is our new whatever. And as of last week, he fired me because he doesn't need me anymore. And that's fine, because we've went on to do other things with him and to do other whatever. But I'm no longer in charge of his social media, because after 18 months of creating his own content and learning how to do it, he doesn't need me to do that. So now I design beer art, and we've got live streams, and we've got podcasts coming up and all this other stuff. But it was just, and not to keep going on, but it was just the case study of be your business. Create your content. And that was all it took, because he had a good product. He had a good business model, but he didn't have good interaction on his content until he put a personality to it.
I think that's a great point, because so many people are looking to outsource themselves when they are the face of the business, right? They want to post maybe some stock video they find on Canva or stock images they find on Getty or whatever it is. You're missing that connection piece between you and your audience. They want to be able to put a face to the name. They want to be able to put a voice to the face. And it just creates that human connection aspect that cannot be replicated any other way by you just doing the work.
And that's all it comes down to, is you have to do the work. Tying it together, George Carlin and John Segura. You know, they didn't get there by not doing the work. Elon Musk didn't get there by not doing the work. Anybody you idolize didn't get there by doing the work. But that seems to be a flex in business, doesn't it? That you make it look like you got there without doing the work. But that's a fairy tale. You have to do the work, and content creation is no different. With you mentioned Canva and you mentioned all those. Content creation is easy as ever, but you still have to make it personable to you and your business. You can't pull 500 stock images of roofs and go, look, I opened a roofing company. You need to take pictures of the roofs you made and go, hey, I John Doe's roof came out really well, and put his face with a thumbs up on there. That's how you get engaging content.
Yeah. And again, everybody starts at zero. We all start at the same place, and you got to build from there. So Ryan, as we start to wind down, before I get to my final questions, if someone was still in that arena of really struggling to get started with creating content, what's the best piece of advice you would give that person to move them from being stuck to actually in action?
It's a choice. It's a decision. You a lot of people, like you said, that don't have content creation, doesn't, or inconsistent. It's the basic thing is a choice of I'm going to do this. The guy at the brewery, the other people I work with, I make them make the choice before they hire me, before they do anything. You have to make the choice, because consistency, running through it and doing it, is that choice. It's like anything else. You can choose to eat breakfast, or you cannot choose to eat breakfast. And you go hungry if you don't eat breakfast. You can choose to make your content, or you could not choose to make your content, because, and you're going to have the same result. You're going to starve for those likes or follows, or to turn that into business thing. You just have to make the decision. That's the biggest advice that I got. We can go around and round about theory all day, but unless you decide to do it, you're going to go nowhere.
Yeah, it's going from consumption to application. You know, you can consume all the tips, all the podcasts, read all the books, but if you don't apply what you learn, you're still going to be standing in the same place 3 months, 6 months, a year from now. So before I get to my final question, Ryan, if someone was interested in learning more about you, the company that you work with, and how you can help people, what's the best way for people to get to know you better?
Two ways is, if you don't mind, they can go to smallbusinessdelivered.com, where I have a podcast called Small Business Chronicles, where we talk about a lot of these things and just different things in there. And to not overload your audience with links, you can find a whole lot more information about me there, on smallbusinessdelivered.com. The other way is it's Ryan at Titan Digital. It's pretty simple. Ryan at TitanDigital.com. Send me an email and go, hey, I heard you on the show. I would love to pick your brain. I would love to talk about stuff. And you can hook up with me that way. I absolutely love helping people out and getting them to where they need. Because once you get it, and once you can coach a person to do that, you feel accomplished and you move on to the next person that needs help in coaching as well.
Love that. So for anyone listening, all that information of how to get in touch with Ryan will be in the description of this episode, so you're not going to have to go too far. So Ryan, final question before we end today's episode, what does success truly mean to you?
Man, that is a multifaceted, loaded question, but generally success means to me is at the end of the day, I've done something I like to do. We can all look at the million and billionaires and giant Fortune 500 companies, but we just formed Titan Media Works and I'm successful. I just bought 25% of the company that I work for, and that's a success to me. Does that mean the work's over? Nope. That means the hard work is just really began. But from a guy that was a stand-up comedian with no aspirations to owning his own national content creation company, that's success. And I think success is measured every day. And next week you could ask me the same question. And I'm like, look, I slept till noon. That's a success. Then next week it's I created a new product and that's a success. So I measure all my successes day by day. And every now and then I'll take a look back on it. But the true marker of success is you've done something you wanted to that day.
I love that. And yeah, I mean, every day that we're given is a blessing, and there's always something to be grateful for. And there's always something to look back on and say, you know what, that was a good day, and let's make today the same. So Ryan, absolutely. Thank you again. Thank you again so much for being here today. Loved our conversation. Love hearing your story. And I know my audience is going to take so much away from it. So thank you again for being here today.
Hey, thank you so much, man.
So again, as you are coming to a close with this episode, we hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget, if you're listening to this on iTunes or Spotify, please subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a rating and review. If you happen to be watching this on YouTube, please don't forget to subscribe, turn that notification bell on, and like the video. And we always love hearing feedback from you, what you loved, what you want to hear more of, so we can make this podcast the best it can be. So everyone, please enjoy the rest of your days, and I'll talk to you next time. Thank you so much again for checking out today's episode. And if you are listening through iTunes, Spotify, wherever you are, please leave me a rating and review. Let me know what you loved, what you would like to see improved, or ideas you have for future episodes. And if you are interested in taking your business to the next level, don't hesitate to go to my website, www.scottaron.net. where you can schedule a free discovery call with me, where I can learn more about you, your business, what you're struggling with, and how we can work together. And don't forget to check out my wife, Nancy, and mine, our free community on Facebook called LinkedIn Leads for Life. We would love to see you in there. Have a great rest of your day. And thank you, everyone, for your support. Grateful for each and every one of you.